You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Anne Murray. Anne, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for inviting me to speak.
Anne, let's talk about your work. What are you doing at the moment? What are you working on in it could be, I know, a variety of capacities.
Right now, I just came back from Algeria. I've been working on a project at Les Ateliers Sauvages, an artist residency there, based on a poet. Her name was Anna Greki, and Anna Greki fought for the independence movement in Algeria, and I was really interested in doing work related to a poet in Algeria. So I contacted Abderrahman Jalfoui, who wrote a book about her called The Words of Love, The Words of War. And I did an interview with him and also another woman, Lamis Saidi, who she translated Anna Greki's poetry into Arabic. Because Anna Greki was mostly, she was writing in French. And she's a really interesting woman. She was incarcerated for 2 years in Algiers, and she wrote a book of poetry during the time that she was incarcerated. So the project that I did, I tried to focus on the idea of what it's like to be isolated and find inspiration around you from everyday mundane things. And so I sort of cloistered myself in my room at the residency, and I started to look at things until they were more and more interesting, and then I made some films related to that and did an installation piece called Anna Greki's Room.
So tell me a little bit about how the installation piece looks, actually. How can you walk us through a little bit what that installation actually looked like?
Absolutely. So on the outside, I had a short documentary. I call it a docu-art piece because it's really not just a straightforward documentary. It was including the voice of Abderrahman Jalfoui and also Lamis Saidi and Iman Nezrin Kerdel. And then as you entered the room was made mostly out of a kind of a fabric, like a bridal veil fabric that was wrapped around some steel beams that were made into basically a rectangular shape against a wall. And so when you enter into this small room, the first thing that you can see is a monitor, and on the monitor is playing three short videos. One video that's a video of the light fixture that was in the room where I was staying at the residency, and it sort of looks like an eye. It's got sort of a black background, and then you can see dead insects inside the lamp, and it looks like the iris of an eye. And that flickering light makes sort of some reference to the sun, to something outside that she can't see, and also to that you're always being watched when you're in prison. And that plays for 2 minutes, and then there's another film that's a film of the Venetian blinds that were in my room. Actually, they call them Persian blinds in French. And it's sort of a scrolling up and down the Venetian blinds. So it ends up looking like a turban of a machine. And that goes on for a few minutes and then again plays the light fixture. But the second time around when that plays, it's actually playing with a traditional instrument for sound that's called the mandol. And that was another artist who came by, a musician who came by. His name is Reda, and he came by and played the mandol while watching my video. And so he timed it. It's some traditional music that he's adapted to go with my video. And to your left inside the exhibition, I had a pair of headphones on the wall along with a photograph. And the headphones, you could listen to three poems that I wrote that were inspired by Anna Greki's poetry. And her book of poetry that she wrote while she was incarcerated in Sarkaji prison was called Algérie, Capitale, Alger. And that's Algeria, capital, Algiers. And so she was writing about Algiers, the capital, but also about other things from her memory. She never was writing about what she was really experiencing in prison. She was using metaphors. And she was never writing about you know, Algiers in a particular way. It was more in a poetic way. And so I tried to, in a bit, emulate her style, and I went through a series of different experiments and finally came up with my own pieces and recorded them. And also you can hear a recording of the voice of Abderrahman Jalfawi, who is speaking about Anna Grecki and how she was known in many different ways under many different contexts because of her pen name and her married name. And so it's kind of a long long recording, but it's very interesting how we know people on different levels and our experience of getting to know someone, because he actually reconstructed who she was as a person by going to different parts of Algeria and talking to people who knew her, not from documents, because there wasn't really anything recorded about her except for her poetry. And so he reconstructed her personality through these interviews that he had with people, which I found really interesting. And then the photograph actually makes a reference to why there's this bridal veil around the outside of the rectangle. And the photograph is of a building nearby the residency where I was staying that was draped in this kind of mesh fabric because they were cleaning the facade of the building. And all over, when you walk around Algiers today, you can see these kind of veils of fabric on the buildings. And it's very beautiful. Like at 3 in the afternoon, you can see the contrast of light, and it makes these draperies end up illuminated in a way that creates these beautiful shadows. And I was walking around thinking about one of Anna Grecki's poems in particular that's called, it's Algérie, capitale Alger as well. It's the same as the title of the book, but it's she refers to Alger la Blanche, Algiers the White City. And that's because when you approach Algiers at that time, in the 50s, in the late 50s, when you approached Algiers from the sea, you would see this kind of white, these white walls of the Kasbah, the old part of the city, shining in the Mediterranean sun. And so for me, Alger la Blanche was actually this veiled city, this city that had, that was that's under sort of a restoration, constant restoration, and you hear the sound of different kinds of construction equipment, and you have the dust of the city, and you have these beautiful white veils. And so I made it so that this interior world that I created in this piece, Anna Grecki's Room, became also a restoration of something from the past. And one of the other things that's in, as well as the monitor and the sound recordings that you can listen to on the headphones, there's also two small light boxes, and the light boxes have also two images that are from the film with the lights, and that that look like eyes watching you. And the last part of the exhibition, there were 5 standing lamps that were shining into the exhibition, illuminating this fabric that had this beautiful kind of layering and of shadow and light. And also it was supposed to reference the fact that she was tortured while she was in prison. And one of the forms of torture that we know of is light torture, but also temperature, because when you're in prison, you don't have any kind of control over temperature or light. And so the small room becomes quite hot if you stay in there too long because of these 5 standing lamps. But it's something between beautiful and uncomfortable.
Mm. Wow, that sounds so rich, and such a collaboration, really. So. What happened to that afterwards? That was all done while you were there on site. You built that. That was part of a residency. Is that how that was supported?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did that as it's the beginning of a long-term project. The next step is I'll make a proposal to the French Institute in Algiers, hopefully to do an exhibition later on next year, because they always have this they call it the springtime of the poets in April, and so it's some events that are related to poetry, and I was hoping to be able to do an exhibition there at the French Institute with the work that I've been doing, and so I'm working on a proposal now to go back and do a different residency and to continue with the work and to collaborate with more artists. I'd like to make the exhibition open to other artists interpreting also her poetry, and relating it to contemporary times and expanding kind of our perception of how poetry can influence contemporary life. And that's one of the things that I talked to a lot with Abderrahman Jalfawi, because talking about how poetry seems to be filtered out of our contemporary life, but in fact it's probably the most important thing that we can incorporate in our life to kind of reason with what we are experiencing and see the larger scale and the larger picture of our global society.
Hmm. And tell me a little bit more about I know you've done a series of live stream talks. Can you tell me a little bit about how that works? And I'd love to talk a little bit about what you've learned or experienced from some of those talks.
Yes, I've been traveling actually for about 4 years around Europe, also in Iceland, China, in Africa. And I started meeting a lot of different artists from different countries while I was at different residencies. And so I organized this group connecting these different artists who I saw some relationships between their works, context of global issues that they were covering and interested in and researching and creating work from, talking about sexism, racism, Islamophobia, and religious intolerance in general, and climate change. And so I created this group. It's called Cloud Conversations. And I made a website, and I started to organize and apply for events where we could do conversations from one part of the world to another about some of these global issues. And so one of the first ones we did was from New York to London, and it was related to a show called 3459, which was organized by several curators in connection with Relapse and with Flux Factory that's in New York. And so Flux Factory had an exhibition, and also Relapse had their group had an exhibition and incorporated one of our artists, Joshua Rubin. And we had a conversation between myself, Joshua Rubin, and Sylvia Arthur, who's a writer. And Sylvia's been working on a book that's looking at, it's a series of essays called African and Other Curse Words. And it's about her growing up as a Black British woman in London and how she was called African, how she wasn't really considered to be European or be British as she was growing up, and sort of that reaction to that kind of racism and that kind of ostracism. And Joshua Rubin's work, he is working in New York City. He actually, his day job is working on restoration in some of these really beautiful architectural wonders in New York City. And he actually takes photographs of some graffiti that's in different bathrooms in these construction sites and in these buildings. And the graffiti, he's been taking photos of that since the time of 9/11, and he makes these kind of icons, paintings that are with beautiful glazes of these really ugly phrases and drawings. And these documents kind of the racism and sexism and intolerance that has been going on in New York City for all of this time. And so it's a sociological study. So I put them together in conversation, and myself and Sylvia and I both wrote reflections on three of Joshua's pieces, and we had a live stream presentation from New York to London. And then there were of course people invited in attendance who could ask questions.
Wow, that's so ambitious and exciting that's happening. So that's a collaborative effort that you're doing, and how often does that happen?
Well, I mean, there are different events going on. We've had three events, and I did a presentation at the World Humanities Conference about our project in August in Liège, Belgium, and presented 10 of the artists who were involved in the project, and we're planning some things for this year. I mean, it's a process. I mean, the artists all, of course, they all have their own work that they're doing and continuing, and I'm constantly writing proposals and trying to organize events and hopefully be able to have more and more things happening. Right now I'm working on starting a magazine also to go with the project. And it's a constant process to search out opportunities for us to get together and create these events. It's one of the things that's a challenge, of course, because there are countries all over the world. Some of the countries where some of the artists are, the online connection isn't very good. There's not a lot of internet access, and so that always causes a challenge. And we're looking for funding. We've applied for the Obama Foundation for Catchlight to do a film about the artist. It's a constant process to try to search out some way to get some more support and spread our project.
So when you say, so just to talk a little bit about that, because that's so important, the searching for support all the time. And, of course, you're talking about grants largely that are coming to support this project. Are you doing most of that researching and finding? Is that very collaborative? Or do you find yourself becoming, the researcher and an expert to some degree at supporting all of this?
It's pretty much, I'm the curator of the project, so I'm the driving force of making that happen. I mean, the other artists, of course, they support me, help me with some of the writing and feedback on the proposals and review things, but I'm the main person making it happen, and it's the vision that I had, I began, and I have the motivation to keep it going. But the artists, they're wonderful and hardworking and supportive, and I really want to see them continue for all of us to rise into a level where we can have more opportunities to create opportunities for discussion, public discussion, to really have people have a sense of metacognition, to become aware of something and to think about it from a different perspective and create change in the world because of the works that we're doing, because of the investigations that we're doing with our work, because we're drawing questions about things in contemporary society, issues of racism, sexism, xenophobia that are important. And so it's my dream, and it's everybody's trying to take part, but it's mainly me who's doing the applications.
Hmm. Well, I'm so glad to talk with you today about all of this. And I want to ask you one more question before we go, although I wish I could talk more about so many more things you're doing. But I'd like to ask you what you're reading at the moment.
Okay, yes. The book that I most recently was reading is connected to my project. It's called The Words of Love, The Words of War, Les Mots de d'Amour, Les Mots de Guerre. It's by Abderrahmane Jalfawi. And it's the reconstruction, basically, of Anna Gretke's life with interviews with people who were in prison with her, people who knew her, people who were her friends. And it's a really interesting way of creating a biography because, as I said, there aren't really documents about her. So it becomes this kind of almost a mythology about a person, like how can you reconstruct who you are? And it actually inspired me to write some poems about that. How would people remember me? What would be the things that they might say about what I've done? It makes you perceive your work in a different way when you read a book like that because these kind of memories are what last of a person. You know, we are really here for such an ephemeral amount of time on this planet, and we live very short lives, I realize now as I grow older. And so this book has had a tremendous influence for me on my artistic vision because it includes also her poetry and some poetry by some of her contemporaries. And I, since I actually got to meet Abderrahmane Jalfawi, he also added other stories that didn't end up in the book and talked to me about them, which became an incredible, rich experience of thinking about the author and the things they encounter and the way that they have to edit to create a book like this.
That's exciting. I'm so glad you shared that as well. And I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's really great to be able to spread the word about my project and also about Cloud Conversations. So thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.